from WBUR Boston. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Operation Fast and Furious was not pretty. Guns sold, tracked, and lost in Mexican drug country. Death, denial, a mess. Not pretty. But just how ugly it was and is appears to depend on where you stand politically. Republican wrath has rained down on Attorney General Eric Holder. Yesterday in the House Committee on Government Oversight, every Republican and no Democrat voted to find Holder in contempt of Congress.
23 ayes, 17 noes.
The ayes have it, and a contempt report is ordered, reported to the House.
This hour, On Point, the fury over Fast and Furious, what it means, where it goes. You can join the conversation. What's the bottom line concern here? Are you outraged? Are you confused? Are you cynical? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Let's just take a little stroll through some of the sound clips from this last couple days and beyond. Here yesterday, chairman of that committee, Republican Congressman Daryl Issa, House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, holding contempt proceedings against Attorney General Eric Holder after he refused to turn over material Issa's been after.
The Attorney General has refused to cooperate, offering to provide subpoena documents only if the committee agrees in advance to close the investigation. No investigator would ever agree to that.
7,600 documents already given. Not enough, says Issa. The president now throwing an executive privilege blanket over all this to protect his attorney general. Democrats outraged. Here was Carolyn Maloney of New York, member of that same committee, saying the whole thing is about nothing more than election year gamesmanship.
This investigation, I am very sorry to say, has degenerated into a purely political exercise to tarnish the attorney general and the president in an election year.
Well, so she says, but on the House floor yesterday, Republican Congresswoman Anne Marie Burkle of New York took the administration to task for obstructing the investigation.
The lack of transparency with respect to a dead Border Patrol agent is sickening. And this morning's threat of asserting executive privilege to maintain the veil of secrecy is even more sickening.
And people look back to President Obama's own comments when he was a senator and what he thought of executive privilege then. Here yesterday again was Republican Representative Trey Gowdy of South Carolina.
With respect to executive privilege, I'm going to resist the temptation to contrast Senator Obama's position on executive privilege with President Obama's position on executive privilege. But I would just note the juxtaposition is stark.
And to get the big angry picture, you got to pull the lens all the way back. Here's Rush Limbaugh. This was last September, insisting that the whole Fast and Furious thing was an attack, a kind of conspiracy, an attack on the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, by the Obama White House.
There's no question that's what this was about. There's no question that the whole point of this was to get American-made guns and sold guns, guns really sold in America, in the hands of Mexican drug cartels, used in massacres, then discovered as a means for Obama to get back to the Second Amendment, since there is no public mood for gun control. And yet the regime and the American left want guns taken away from people.
The regime, says Rush Limbaugh. Joining me first today from Washington is Chris Saliza, reporter and editor at the Washington Post and postpolitics.com. Chris, welcome back to On Point. Thanks for being with us.
Tom, thanks for having me.
Where does this go? When does it go to the floor of the House? And what are the chances that we will see criminal contempt action against the attorney general?
Well, in theory, Tom, it goes to the floor of the House when the leadership schedules it, which they did very quickly after the vote on Daryl Issa's government reform committee yesterday. John Boehner and Eric Cantor, the two top Republicans in the House, said that they would be scheduling a full House vote on contempt next week. Now, if it goes that far, it would seem very likely that it would pass. Remember, Republicans are in control of the House. They have their largest majority after the 2010 election in quite some time. So they could even weather a few defections here and there and still have it pass. If that happens, then it then we go into the U.S. attorney and these sorts of things. And it's much more of a legal case than a political case. To be frank, Tom, I continue to think that this will get resolved in some way, shape, or form before that contempt vote.
Chairman Issa has indicated he's open to that, right?
Yeah,
he said as much, but hey, it hasn't been much of a path toward easy resolution so far.
Agree. People ask me what happened what happened on Wednesday? What does that tell us about it? And I said it amounts to both sides pressing down on the gas pedal in a game of political chicken. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't both turn the steering wheel at the last minute. And I think, as we almost always see in these showdowns, debt ceiling debates over the budget, tax cut extensions, they look like the two sides are going to crash and head-on collision, and at the last minute they turn, leaving neither side particularly happy, but us avoiding what is a epic disaster. And so my guess, and it really is a guess because we are somewhat on ground that we've not trod before. My guess is that both sides find a way to save some sort of face and move forward beyond
epic,
this.
Epic disaster, but what's new here? I mean, it was new for President Obama to invoke executive privilege. That's the first time he has done that in his entire time in office. And if you go back, of course, George W. Bush, 6 times. Bill Clinton, 14 times. Mm-hmm. Bush's father did it. Ronald Reagan did it 3 times. What's the epic disaster outcome potential here? What's new here?
Well, first of all, to your point, there's not that much new. Presidents, as you note and just did, have invoked executive privilege before about what they believe to be documents that are not to be shared for national security reasons and other reasons, as opposed to just saying, well, I don't want to give them to you. So in a way, there's nothing new here. The reality of the situation is that congressional Republicans and the president have been at daggers drawn for quite some time. I think ever since the attempt at a grand bargain on the debt ceiling between John Boehner and President Obama fell through, we've essentially seen no willingness to compromise on either side broadly, though I would say partisans would say their side has tried to compromise and the other side has been unwilling to do so. I think for your average voter, Tom, the undecided voter, my guess is they think, first, why is this Vin Diesel movie getting so much attention? I literally think that they probably think Fast and Furious has to do with that series of movies about racing cars. If they go further into it, I think they think this is just another example of Congress and the president not working. If you are a constitutional scholar, you say this is a constitutional fight over the separation of power. What does the legislative branch have power over? What does the executive branch have power over? I don't think your average undecided voter goes anywhere near to that depth.
But average voter, I mean, what is that these days? It depends where you sit, what you watch, what you listen to. As you well know, Chris, there's a big school of media out there that is absolutely up in arms about this and talking conspiracy, cover-up, attack on the Constitution, the Second Amendment, and all the rest. It's nonstop barrage, and it's only gotten hotter.
And you played a clip from Rush, and this has been something, Fast and Furious, that conservatives have been up in arms about for quite some time. They have lambasted the mainstream media, as they refer to people like myself who work for the Washington Post, for not paying enough attention to this, that this deserves more attention, Republicans all the way up to Texas Senator John Cornyn have called on Eric Holder, the attorney general, to resign over his handling of Fast and Furious. So this may be something that's popping its head up into kind of the broad cultural kind of awareness at the moment. But you are 100% right. This has been something that has been a touchstone for conservatives for quite some time. Daryl Issa has been on this for quite some time. Chuck Grassley, the senator from Iowa, has been interested in this for quite some time as well. So it may be the first some of us are hearing of it, not me, but some people, but certainly it is not the first that Republicans have heard of.
Not at all. A lot of it antenna way up. One of them is with us right now. Congressman Jason Chaffetz joins us from the Capitol Building in Washington. Republican congressman, represents Utah's 3rd District, includes Provo, big portions of central and west central Utah. He sits on the House Committee on Government Oversight and voted with other Republican members for a charge of contempt against Attorney General Eric Holder. Congressman Chaffetz, welcome back to On Point. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks, Tom.
Why did you vote to push forward on the contempt front yesterday?
Well, it's sad and really disappointing that we're at this point. Remember, we have a dead Border Patrol agent. And you know what? Put the partisan labels aside for a second. Mm-hmm. Imagine a federal government that purposely, knowingly, puts into the hands of the drug cartels nearly 2,000 weapons, the bulk of which are AK-47s. They do so in a purposeful way.
Are you talking here about Operation Wide Receiver under George Bush or Fast and Furious under Obama or both?
No, well, look, the policy gun walking is wrong no matter what it is, but I'm talking specifically about Fast and Furious. Remember the other case, the one was started by George W. Bush, mm-hmm. which was wrong then, and we should have learned from it, was stopped in 2007. In fact, the line attorney there in Phoenix didn't even prosecute those because they felt the tactics were so bad. Then it was revived under President Obama, and it was 2009.
By the ATF, which they started, operation there in Phoenix.
Yeah, and we started. The Obama administration started Fast and Furious, where they purposely wanted these guns to go to Mexico. So we have a dead Border Patrol agent.
Brian
we have
Terry.
Over 1,000 guns that are missing. We have nearly 300 people that are dead in Mexico. You have an attorney general who has admitted that the process was fundamentally flawed. You have a February 4th, 2011 letter that was sent to Congress that they had to repeal 10 months later because
wasn't
it was
true.
Wrong.
Wasn't
of
true.
Course we have to pursue this. Of course we do. It would be malpractice not to.
I'm glad you're with us, Congressman Chaffetz. 300 dead in Mexico. I don't know how we get that number exactly. 50,000 dead in the last decade or less. Congressman Jason Chaffetz, please stand by. Chris Ciliza, we're looking at Fast and Furious, the botched gun sting, and the uproar that has followed. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Talking this hour about Fast and Furious, the botched gun sting, and the GOP taking aim over it at Attorney General Eric Holder, and maybe beyond that at the White House, got a committee vote of contempt of Congress and charges of cover-up, the president invoking executive privilege for the first time in his administration. Chris Ciliza is with us from the Washington Post. Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz is here from the Capitol building in Washington. He voted on that committee yesterday to push forward on the contempt front. And let's, again, just hear some of the sound of this is a very, very high charge conversation, to say the least, going on. Here was earlier in June, Attorney General Holder testified in front of the House Judiciary Committee, in the midst of which Congressman Daryl Issa, California, accused the Attorney General of being uncooperative.
Have you and your attorneys produced internally the materials responsive to the subpoenas?
We believe that we have responded to the subpoena.
No, Mr. Attorney General, you're not a good witness. A good witness answers the question asked.
And the thunder has continued to come down from the GOP again this week. Holder offering to give the committee some documents after he claimed would satisfy their needs. The meeting didn't go well with this was an 11th-hour meeting with Daryl Issa. Here's Holder commenting to reporters afterwards.
I have to say, given the extraordinary nature of the offer that we made and given the extraordinary way in which we have shared materials to date, that I think we are actually involved more in political gamesmanship as opposed to trying to get the information they say they want. Nevertheless, we are prepared to provide these materials, to brief on these materials, to answer questions about these materials.
And out in the American landscape, out in the media world, very different responses here. This was MSNBC's Chris Matthews describing this as a kind of poke in the eye or humiliation of a top member of the Obama administration. Here he is on Tuesday.
It's almost like a stop and frisk. Here's a chance to humiliate a distinguished member of the United States government, the Attorney General, and everybody knows, close friend of the president's. It's a surrogate operation. If he can humiliate this guy, if he can get to him, he'll be a big star in the Republican caucus. He'll be Dick Nixon.
Yeah, but Fox News today, the resident Democratic commentator there, Tamara Holder, and conservative commentator Michelle Malkin went at it hammer and tongs. This was yesterday on Hannity with host Sean Hannity. Tamara Holder said Fast and Furious was the same kind of operation that the Bush administration's Operation Wide Receiver had been. Michelle Malkin took sharp exception.
Operation Wide Receiver was planned. The difference is that in the Bush administration, they got those guns back. And under the Obama administration, they let them go because they had an underlying gun control agenda that is clear in these documents if you read it. Clearly, they're the ones with ideological zealotry that caused bloodshed in this country. The blood is on your people's hands, Tamara.
Wow, the blood is on your people's hands. Congressman Jason Chaffetz, Republican, Utah. For you, voting yesterday, as you look at this big picture, what's the bottom line? What's this really about? Is it about not coming fully clean, not getting the accurate truth across in the first instance? Is it about cover-up? Or is it about this assertion of a big underlying gun control agenda? Get a bunch of high-powered rifles into Mexico when mayhem ensues, push for gun control in this country.
Like, I hope not. To me, it's about getting to truth and to justice. It's not about Eric Holder, but it is about the Department of Justice and justice in the United States of America. The IG, the Inspector General there within the Department of Justice, is supposedly conducting a review of this. They have been given 140,000 documents. Our committee has been given less than 8,000 documents. We believe we have a duty, a responsibility to follow through and look at those documents to make a determination. Our frustration and what the subpoena is really about is not a political witch hunt. It's getting it to that truth and justice. The only way to do that is to get the documents. And their refusal to provide these documents has impeded our ability. And I guess people have to ask themselves, are they infuriated about the fact that Congress is pursuing this, or are they infuriated that our government gave 2,000 weapons to the drug cartels? That's what we should really be upset about.
But I mean, but as you pointed out, it was lousy, bad, and lost. And yes, Brian Terry is dead, and Mexicans, no doubt, as well. These are high-powered rifles, but it did go on under the Bush administration. Michelle Malkin doesn't like the way it was put there on Fox News.
But that doesn't make it right.
Were people down the Bush administration's throats in the same way? I guess that would go to the issue of whether it's political or not.
Trey Gowdy, myself, others have said, wherever this takes us, let's do this. The documents that we have been provided thus far are primarily about wide receiver. So that's fine. Let's bring them all up here. But that is not hardly an excuse for the Attorney General to do his job and for the Department of Justice to provide the documents to Congress to make sure this never happens again, that we fix this problem. Remember, it was March 25th of 2011. Mm-hmm. I think it was the 25th. The President Obama said there may have been mistakes made. We're going to have some responsibility here. We'll hold people accountable. That hasn't happened. That hasn't happened, and that's our fundamental problem with what's going on at the Department of Justice.
And the suggestion yesterday here from your colleague, Indiana Republican Congressman Dan Burton, in the hearing, saying where there's smoke, the White House invoking executive privilege, there's probably fire.
Why would the president claim executive privilege unless there was something very, very important that he felt should not be made known to this committee and possibly to the public?
Republican Dan Burton yesterday. Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz is with us. He sat and voted on that committee yesterday for the contempt charge against Attorney General Eric Holder. With us right now as well from Washington is Robert Rabin, president, founder of the Rabin Group. It's a lobbying consulting group there. He was an assistant attorney general in the Clinton administration, has served as Democratic counsel in the House Judiciary Committee. He's been kind of an informal advisor to Eric Holder's Justice Department on this and other cases. Robert Rabin, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
What do you see going on here?
Well, regrettably, I see 91% politics, 9% oversight. It's pretty astonishing how this committee, it's not the first time they've done it, but how this committee has diminished kind of the majesty of the Constitution and the separation of powers and the charge for the coordinate branches of government to work together. And it's politics, 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 politics.
2,000 guns gone and high-powered guns. An American Border Patrol agent is dead with those guns nearby. The first report to the Congress on this, wrong. None of that sounds good.
Tens of thousands of Mexicans dead, unbelievably, because of guns imported from the United States to Mexico through straw purchasers. Zero interest or investigation by this committee or any other committee about what's going wrong, what to do about our gun laws, why we don't have a ban on assault weapons. I'm going to tell you what the political imperative is here. Mm-hmm. It's called the NRA. Now, I support strongly the Second Amendment. I go shooting with my sister and strongly believe it, shooting at a range, of course. Mm-hmm. The chairman of this committee announced some months ago that he was going to move forward on contempt against the Attorney General at the NRA convention. Prior to the vote, the National Rifle Association announced that they were going to score the vote on contempt, which is allegedly, according to Congressman Chaffetz and others, about documents. They were going to score the vote. That means it was going to be part of the NRA's official scorecard on whether or not you get a good or bad rating from that very powerful institution.
Which congresspeople pay a lot of attention to.
Mm-hmm. Politics. There was a metronome of disingenuousness that clicked over and over again during the committee when virtually every Republican said it was a sad day. It's not a sad day for them. They're doing what the NRA wants, they're happily doing it, and they're scoring political points with their constituency by taking down this tremendous attorney general.
Robert Raven, stand by, and Congressman Chaffetz, I'll come to you. But Chris Ciliza got listeners writing in and saying, take us back to the operation itself for just a second here to get some more facts on the table there. People hear botched operation. Remind us, Chris, what the intention was when this began under the Bush administration, when it was picked up again under the Obama administration. Robert Raven says, there is this flow of buyers who come across the border, straw buyers for drug cartels, I guess. They buy a lot of guns in this country. We've just been hearing about it this week. They go back to Mexico, 50,000 dead there, kind of almost a war with the government in recent years. Now, in this case, Department of Justice, what, they knew, they watched them, they were going to try and track these guns back to the drug lords to sort of get to the heart of the operations. Was that the idea, Chris? And what happened?
Well, you've got it, Tom. That's the essence of it. And that the goal would be that they would be able to track the weapons and follow them through whatever corridors they go through and get to larger scale gun running and gun smuggling. What happened, and Congressman Chaffetz mentioned a very high-profile incident in which a Border Patrol man was killed using one of these guns. Some of the guns were lost in terms of the tracking. So
lots of them were lost. Right?
Yes, and so the problem is that there is some level, and I think the Obama administration and Mr. Holder have said this did not go as planned, but that the allegation certainly that we heard from Rush Limbaugh, that we've heard from Michelle Malkin, obviously the Obama administration would reject this idea that the idea was to flood Mexico with guns in hopes of raising gun violence and therefore allowing the argument for more gun control to be made in this country. I would say, as a sort of a political reporter and observer, that seems to me to be a little bit of a triple bank shot politically, that was the ultimate intent. Obviously, we don't know the ultimate intent here other than what the stated Obama administration intent was. But that is a very Machiavellian scheme. Again, if you are inclined to believe and not like the Obama administration, you almost certainly think that they could have been up to that.
I mean, but look back over American history, presidential history, certainly Machiavellian schemes have been deployed before, right?
Enough.
I mean, you've got Iran and Nicaragua and you name it. Congressman Chaffetz, let me ask you just on the merits of it. I mean, we do have something that has been compared to a war going on our doorstep in Mexico over drugs coming into this country and that huge business. Very, very high numbers of dead there. Lots of American guns involved. Do you have a problem with law enforcement trying to track down those streams of weapons flowing from the U.S. into Mexico, Congressman?
Oh, I'm absolutely, totally concerned about that. That's mm-hmm. why when I had Homeland Security Secretary Napolitano before my committee, I asked her. I said, here, the federal government purposely gives the drug cartels 2,000 weapons. And I have to correct the people who have spoken before. Mm-hmm. There was no tracking. That's my fundamental. It's one of the biggest problems is they purposely let these guns walk. They
purposely,
did not have trackers.
I thought that was a screw-up.
I mean, well, it was a screw-up. That's why we're trying to fix this. This is why we're trying to get to the bottom of this.
But you said
it
purposely. If it's purposely, it's not a screw-up. Well, that's the intention you're alleging, not a screw-up, right?
But the conclusion of this was something that I agree with the Attorney General on when he said it was fundamentally flawed. Is it wrong to allow guns to walk? Yes. And the Attorney General says, yes. The problem is 2,000 of them did walk. They were not tracked. So I asked the Secretary of Homeland Security how many of those guns, when they went south across the border, she claims the border is more secure than it's ever been before. Zero. Not one gun has been apprehended at the border moving south. Now, that to me means we also have a border security
issue. I see what you mean. But we know we have that because Mexico's loaded with guns and almost all of them come from America. We know we've got that problem.
Part of the solution is locking down that border. Now, look, if you don't lock down the border, if you're not securing the ebb and flow that's going back and forth, you can see why drugs are a problem, why guns are a problem, going both directions.
Well, of course, they have been for a long time. Let us look at that. If I may, Congressman, let me get our callers are just lined up here. Owensboro, Kentucky. Chris is calling. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. My question is for the congressman. Like you've stated over and over again, 50,000 dead Mexicans in the past 10 years, mm-hmm. Scores of dead Border mm-hmm. Patrol agents, many of them from guns imported illegally from America. Now, regardless of what Limbaugh and Hannity are saying about an absence of public sentiment for gun control, the question that I have for you is, why waste time going after one particular member of the Obama administration when you could spend more time trying to devise plans that actually stop this rather than just focusing on what they did wrong? Be proactive and not reactive. I'll hang up and let you respond.
Got it, Chris. Jason Chaffetz, Congressman, what do you say?
Well, we have to walk and chew gum, too. So the Obama administration, the Department of Justice, should have put this to bed more than a year ago. We had the GSA scandal. Martha Johnson stepped down immediately. We had the Secret Service scandal. People were put on administrative leave and fired within days of that. Here, we have a Border Patrol agent that was killed in December. People at the Department of Justice at the senior level got promotions. And so there has not been the accountability. We have not solved this problem. I want to make sure that it never, ever happens again. And I think there's a bipartisan consensus to try to do that. The problem is we're not operating with the facts. The Department of Justice is not providing us the documents that we need to understand how this happened and how we prevent it from doing it again. That's why we're in these contempt proceedings. I wish we weren't. I really am sincere about this. We should have gotten rid of this back in early 2011, but if they're not going to provide the documents, we're going to continue to proceed.
Robert Rabin, is there a cover-up going on here? I mean, what was known? Did the Attorney General know about all this stuff? But it's in...
No, there's no cover-up. I don't know what the Attorney General knew or didn't know. He said that he didn't, and the head of the ATF said that he never told his superiors, but Chairman Issa won't call that witness, nor will he call former Attorney General Mukasey, who oversaw the earlier identical operation. Let me tell you what I know is going on here. I listened to Congressman Chaffetz, and I wonder if he's talking about a Department of Justice perhaps in another country. He's certainly not talking about this one. This is an effort, as I said, to do the bidding of the NRA, but more importantly...
I'm not going to accept that, Tom. It's not true. You're levying an allegation against me that is not true.
You're protesting quite a bit. You have an A rating for the NRA. They scored it, and you and your chairman announced that he was going forward with
the
contempt citation at the convention. Let me finish.
What's your evidence, Tom, that this is at the bidding of the NRA? Congressman Chaffetz says no way. What's your evidence of that?
I'm sorry. You reject the word bidding. It's with the complete support of the most powerful private political institution in the country, the NRA, which I admire and respect. I think they're very, very good at what they do.
Doesn't sound like it.
And they're getting their way here. What's really going on, however, is it's called opportunity cost. Every minute that the Attorney General and his senior staff is tied up in a dispute about documents, they are not out there talking to the American public about a reinvigorated Civil Rights Division, Environment and Natural Resources Division, a vigorous enforcement of the antitrust laws. The conservatives, some Democrats, mostly Republicans, do not like the policies of the Obama administration through the Attorney General Eric Holder around civil rights, civil liberties, environment protection, and this is a
way to get away from all that.
Absolutely.
You may be right, Chris Salizzi. You're right that President Obama at this point would rather talk about this than about the economy.
I mean, I do think that that's true, Tom. I think that there's the economy is a very tough sell for him. Talking about immigration, talking about this, talking about Republicans in Congress, no offense to Congressman Chaffetz, he knows this, Congress is not a popular institution. You can make a case that running against Congress is a good political strategy for a president who is struggling to sell the American public on the fact that he has the right plan to move forward
for
with the economy.
Chris Salizzi, stand by there in Washington, Congressman Jason Chaffetz. Of Utah, Robert Rabin. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. We're talking this hour about Fast and Furious, the botched gun sting, and the GOP taking aim at Attorney General Eric Holder with a committee vote of contempt of Congress and charges of cover-up here. Chris Saliza is with us from the Washington Post. Robert Rabin is with us. He's a lobbyist and a consultant in Washington, a former assistant attorney general in the Clinton administration, an informal advisor to Eric Holder's Justice Department on this issue. Another Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz is with us. He joins us from the Capitol building in Washington today. He's on the committee that voted yesterday to take the contempt business before the entire House, and we'll see how that turns out. You can join the conversation. What do you think is going on here? Do you see the country's split-screen vision on this? Fury in the GOP, Fox News Nation, maybe a shrug beyond. We'll see. Is this a big, urgent, show-stopping deal or a waste of time when the world's on fire in other realms? Is this just politics or something really bad that needs to be uncovered? 800-423-8255 is our number, 800-423-TALK. The president invoking executive privilege, first time he's done it when George Bush was doing it, He didn't like it. Back in 07, then Illinois Senator Barack Obama spoke to CNN's Larry King about the use of executive privilege by President Bush.
There's been a tendency on the part of this administration to try to hide behind executive privilege every time there's something a little shaky that's taking place. And I think, you know, the administration would be best served by coming clean on this.
Best served by coming clean, said Senator Barack Obama. But Democrats yesterday, not into this at all. In the House committee hearing, Democrat Congressman Elijah Cummings, Democratic Congressman from Maryland, took exception with the committee's contempt proceedings against Eric Holder.
It seems clear that you had no interest in resolving this issue and that the committee planned to go forward with contempt before we walked into the meeting with the Attorney General. It pains me to say this, but this is what I believe.
We've got a lot of listeners here. Howard in Plattsburgh, New York. Howard, you're on the air.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah,
really, in the Obama administration's Sarah Brady let slip at a news conference that Obama made a commitment to her to be working on gun control beneath the radar. And Fast and Furious can't help but be a little kind of suspicious that may have been the objective of Fast and Furious. And I think the president really should clear that up by reversing his order and releasing the documents.
Howard, I appreciate your call. Let me get one more. Nashville, Tennessee. John, you're on the air, John.
Hi, let me tell you, the American people are fed up with the fact that it seems like every time something goes on, either this administration or the previous administration, and time immemorial seems going back here, that when a crime is committed by a politician nowadays, it's swept under the rug under the name of political correctness, or some other, you know, name. The bottom line is some border agent was killed here, and his son or his brother's missing their daddy or their brother. And if it was my brother or my dad, somebody would need to pay. The American people are held accountable and put in jail for traffic tickets. But politicians and bankers and white-collar crime people are always coming up with some excuse not to be held accountable, and we're fed up with it.
John, we've got it. We've got it loud and clear. Congressman Chaffetz, I'll bring the earlier question to you, but Robert Rabin, what about John in Nashville and his complaint right there? There's a dead
well,
border patrol
right.
agent, and he says, "Come on."
I take a different point. I've been working in Congress and the Department of Justice in Washington for 21 years, and we have reached a point where the approval rating of an institution I love, the Congress, is 17%. 17%. It's an exceptionally sad moment for our nation.
Does that mean we shouldn't know what happened with these guns and how?
You do know what happened with these guns. This attorney general, put a stop to what he said was a flawed technique. And what you're fighting about now is conversations that may have occurred among senior Justice Department officials by email or other documents about how to get the facts right to the Congress. They've been incredibly responsive. I think you're watching, at least on this committee, we haven't spoken about the entire Republican caucus yet. They haven't gone to the floor. But you're watching a political exercise where they are, frankly, delighted to spend their time attacking this attorney general.
Ray in North Kingstown, Rhode Island. I'll come to you, Congressman. Ray, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I have 3 points. First, I find it totally hypocritical to cite the death of one border agent and 300 people in Mexico as a need to pursue this. Secondly, what Yeah, I mean,
why is that hypocritical? Just spell that out, Ray. Why would that be hypocritical? I mean, those are dead people. We care?
Because, as was cited before, there have been over 50 million, or well, excuse
1,000.
Me, 50,000
yeah.
people.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the drug cartels are just totally...
Yeah. Okay, a lot of killing. What else have you got, Ray?
Well, and 2,000 guns in what? How many do the drug cartels have? A million?
Yeah, but this is with the federal government sort of deliberately letting them go. And these are high-powered, a bunch of these high-powered guns. These weren't just pistols.
They were let go for a reason. And yes, arguably the program was flawed and could not... you know, you can't defend it if it goes bad. But my overall question is, why cannot this country keep secrets? The CIA, the FBI, the DEA, the ATF, they're all doing things to protect our freedoms. And but, you know, they're considered illegal when they don't divulge.
Show all. So you're with the president on executive privilege. Congressman Chaffetz, what do you say to that?
Well, look, there are several things at play here. And you've got to remember, yesterday, the head of the union for the Border Patrol agents there in Arizona actually supported the idea that Eric Holder should resign. Remember, we were lied to in Congress. Essentially, the American people were lied to. On February 4th, 2011, the Congress was sent a letter under Department of Justice letterhead that 10 months later, they had to pull back because it was so full of lies.
I mean, they conceded that it was all wrong.
Well, exactly. And so it begs the question, I cannot believe that if we switched roles, Democrats were in the House and controlled the House, and it was a Republican president. Are you saying that they wouldn't proceed to investigate this? Come on. Talk about hypocritical. Of course they would, and they should, and I would support them in that. When you have the acting director of the ATF, Ken Melson, who on July 4th of last year, under 2 days of questioning from both Democrats and Republican staffers, say to under when the tape recorder was going, and I'm paraphrasing here, that he believes that there were political motivations from the Department of Justice to protect the political appointees, we've got to take that very seriously. He was appointed by President Obama. He's making these allegations. The American people, we deserve to get to the bottom of this so it never, ever happens again.
Let me ask you to respond. We've got a lot of comments online here. William says, this is another example of the failure of big government and nobody held accountable for a failed program. Here's another says, the president's claiming executive privilege. Obviously, he's got something big and ugly to hide. Then Scott writes, and let me put this to you, Congressman, if the gun that killed the Border Patrol agent had been sold at a gun store owned by a GOP campaign contributor, every one of the Republicans would scream, guns don't kill people, people kill people. Crocodile tears, he says.
Well, that's pretty cold and callous. Look, I want to help lock down the border because Janet Napolitano says it's the most secure border ever, and I'm here to tell you they didn't stop one of the 2,000 weapons going south. That is fundamentally a problem. Straw purchasing in this country, you're allowed as an American to purchase a gun or guns for yourself. What is illegal is purchasing them in mass to give to somebody else. And yet our federal government allowed this to happen. And the reason
happening, though. And so this was we go inside criminal cartels and stuff all the time, right? We do it on anti-terrorism efforts. People pose to sell explosives. We get dirty when we track crime.
The reason this investigation started is because ATF agents, these guys down there in the weeds doing the hard work, they stepped forward as whistleblowers and said, this is out of control. This is ridiculous. We do not do this as an ATF. This is wrong.
But we did it under George Bush. So what's the difference?
It doesn't make it right.
I want to nail down this. Do you think, one of our callers said, was this about a Machiavellian plot or Robert Rabin maybe? Do you think there's a Machiavellian plot in all this to get at gun control, to achieve gun control?
No. Well, you had a person on this call earlier or on this discussion earlier who within about 30 seconds tried to talk about the NRA and gun control.
Well, why not? They're powerful. They watch this issue like hawks.
Because the heart of this issue is, what is our federal government doing to help solve these problems? I want to have all of these discussions.
Well, let's have it then. Do you think that this was a plot to sort of a billiard, triple shot billiard shot here to get to gun control, Congressman?
I hope not. I hope not. I don't have direct evidence that says this person sent an email because they were. I don't have that sort of evidence. I want to enforce the current laws. I want to make sure gun walking doesn't happen again. I want to lock down the border. And I want to do as President Obama said in March of 2011, hold somebody accountable. Because at this point, nobody has been held accountable.
Robert,
and that is wrong.
Robert Rabin, if the shoe were on the other foot, the congressman says Democrats would be all over an issue like this. And they would be right now on the glide path to an election day.
I agree with that. No party has a monopoly on politicizing oversight, and Democrats have, over the years, done it acutely to Republican administrations and Republican to Democrat. I stipulate to that. I agree with that. Congressman Chaffetz voted against funding for an Obama administration proposal to prevent certain straw purchasers on the border. The effort here, and they are brilliant at it, and I admire them as political officials, but the effort here to distract attention from a refusal to enact reasonable gun safety laws or allow various administrations to enforce those reasonable gun safety laws that are on the books is amazing. That's part of the aggression here. It's effective, it's working, and they're scoring political points over it.
John in Nashville, Tennessee, you're on the air, John.
Good day, Tom.
Hi.
This whole ginned up controversy is so typical of the right wing and the kind of things they do. If I was a progressive or a Democrat, which I am, I'd be very afraid right now. I think they're coming after us. They're going to use every avenue the government has open to them.
Why afraid? Well, how coming after you, John? What do you mean?
Well, I just think that the right wing wants to wipe out the Democratic Party and all progressives. I mean, it's their stated goal, really. It's what they've been doing for the last 30 years is trying to destroy the left in this country.
I mean, we have political contests in this country. That's true, and people fight hard. Is there something different from that?
Well, the amount of money that the GOP has always had and the kind of campaigns they've run, it's not surprising that they've managed to garner as much power they have. When they get it all, I don't think you're going to be surprised to see situations where Alan West and Michelle Bachmann are chairing congressional committees that have people like Debbie Wasserman Schultz expelled for being un-American. It's just what they do.
John, we've got it. I appreciate your call. Yes?
Tom, I wanted to make this is Chris.
Chris?
I apologize.
Sorry, Chris. Yeah.
I just wanted to make a point here. I think that there is, and all the calls reflect this, we are 140 days or so away from an election.
Yeah.
Everything that happens 140 days away from an election has an element of politics to it. That said, I would agree with both of my fellow guests. I see no evidence at the moment, aside from the fact I do not agree that simply having an A rating from the NRA, as Congressman Chaffetz does, is driving his what I believe to be genuine concern about this, nor do I think that it is fair based on the facts that we currently have that we can conclude that Democrats and Eric Holder and Barack Obama were in some way conducting a planned attempt to raise support for gun control. It is difficult to step away from the political silo through which, or the political lens through which you see these things, but neither of those things are provable at this point. I think
what about simply to cover up what went on with Fast and Furious?
That to me is I do not have enough information to conclude a cover up was happening. I
Congressman
Chaffetz
says give us the information.
Let us decide.
We're the Congress.
What we do know is that this was a flawed program. I think that all three of us would agree on this, and Republicans and Democrats would agree on it. The issue is, was there motive behind the flawed program or not? Congressman, I don't want to misstate it. Would you agree with that?
Look, I guess if we're dealing with just facts, the contempt proceeding here is based on the idea that Congress issued a subpoena and the Department of Justice didn't comply with it, didn't fulfill it.
George
I hope
Bush
that's just,
refused
it's
six
factual.
Times. I mean, Bill Clinton 14, Ronald Reagan 3, Obama once. I mean, it's not as though it's never happened.
Well, to responding to a subpoena, well, look, if you were just a man on the street and you were issued a subpoena, I don't know that you get to negotiate it. That's not the way this country works.
Yeah, but I don't have executive.
We're not negotiating the price of a car here.
I don't have executive privilege. One more call. Dee in South Hadley, Massachusetts. Dee, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Yes.
My point is that the reason the president used executive privilege is that the papers contain the names of agents that are deep undercover, and he doesn't want any information like that leaking out because Congress and people in Congress have loose lips, and it usually gets out somewhere along the line.
But are you glad they're paying attention, Dee? Are you glad they're on this issue?
I think they're wasting their time. It's a waste of time and energy. The Republican Party should be working towards getting the American society and population back to work. It's a waste of time and energy of all America.
Dee, I appreciate your call. Congressman, where do you think this ends? Here we are. Do you think Congressman Issa is going to work something out with the Attorney General, or are we headed for contempt and, I don't know, the Supreme Court?
Look, the White House and the Department of Justice can end this tomorrow by providing the documents to Congress that were outlined in the subpoena. I would hearken back also to a year ago. It was 31 Democrats sent a letter to President Obama concerned, 31 Democrats concerned that they had not fulfilled the openness and transparency that they promised. They had not provided to Congress all the documents related to Fast and Furious, and nothing's changed for over the course of the last year.
Well, there we are. Talk about Fast and Furious. Wow. Congressman Jason Chaffetz, Republican, Utah's 3rd District representing, joining us from the Capitol building in Washington today. We will be watching closely, and we appreciate your time and thoughts, Congressman.
Thank you. Thank you. I really did appreciate the dialogue.
Us as well. Robert Rabin, former Assistant Attorney General in the Clinton administration, now at the Rabin Group in Washington. Bob, thank you very much for your insights today.
Thank you, sir, Tom.
And Chris Saliza, reporter, editor at the Washington Post. Chris, thank you so much. You're all over it, and we appreciate that. We'll keep reading. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
I appreciate you having me.
Listeners, you can continue the conversation at On Point Radio or on Twitter, Facebook, at On Point Radio, onpointradio.org. I'm Tom Ashbrook. Thanks for joining us. This is On Point.